Blog Talk Radio.
Shall continually be in my mouth. Good morning. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Missionary Terry Rogers, who is filling in for your host, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. Announcements and resources. Amazing Grace School of Ministry classes will be starting soon. You can now register by email. You can email Dr. Maria Carey at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, Amazenggrace, Ministries @gmail.com. And request your registration form. For more information, please contact Dr. Maria Carey at 309-750-7584. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text 309-750-7584 or at the email, capital A, Amazenggrace@gmail.com. And our lesson link is https://www.blogtalkradio.com/AmazingGraceMinistries2020/08/08. Amazing-Grace-2020. ministries-destroying-the-yokes-of-bondage. Prepare to hear an end time word for this season. During the month of September, we will be doing a case study in Job. The third lesson in this series is entitled Bathe in Bitterness, Job 7 and 11, and this is the King James Version. Therefore, I will refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. When you say friends, Job 6, 13, and 15, is my help not within me, and is success driven from me? To him who is afflicted, kindness shall be shown by his friends. Even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty, my brothers have dealt deceitfully like a brook, like the streams of the brooks that pass away. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4 and 31, when you say clamor, that means loud quarreling. Job 19, 19 through 21, all my inward friends abhor me, and they whom I love are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Let's get into the lesson. When Job's three friends came to comfort him, they started out good but ended up accusing him of wrongdoing. Job not only lost his character, his property, children, and his health, now he has to deal with the accusations of his friends. Job had every right to be bitter. Let's review Job's three friends. First, there was Eliphaz, the Temanite. He's first mentioned in the second chapter of Job, the 11th verse. He is one of Job's three friends and would-be comforter. After Job complained in the third chapter of Job, Eliphaz is the first of the friends to speak. Chapters 4 and 5 contains his first speech, which focuses on the theme of the innocent prospering. In other words, Eliphaz thought that Job was obviously not prospering, must have done something wrong. You know, we always think that somebody did something wrong. No life encounters such suffering can be innocent, according to Eliphaz. Following the speech by Eliphaz, Job replies with a statement regarding his innocence. Eliphaz provided a second speech in the 15th chapter of Job, asserting that Job does not fear God. If Job feared God, Eliphaz reasons, he would not face such suffering. Job responds that his friends are miserable comforters. Job 16 and 2. Eliphaz offers a third speech, and it's recorded in the 22nd chapter of Job. This time, he accuses Job of great wrongdoings. Is not your wickedness great? Are not your sins endless? Job 22 and 5. He then proceeds to list all of Job's supposed sins, and that's verse 6 and 9. From Eliphaz's perspective, God would only allow great evil to befall someone who has done something very bad. Job replies by asking for God to intervene on his behalf. And that's Job. Job's second friend was Bildad, the Shuhite. It's first mentioned in Job 2 and 11 also, as one of the three friends who came to comfort Job. Bildad, the Shuhite, is the second of Job's friends to speak. In the 8th chapter of Job, Bildad's perspective is that Job should repent of his wrong. If Job repents, according to Bildad, all the material things he had lost would be restored. If you will seek God earnestly and plead with the Almighty, if you are pure and upright, even now he will rouse himself on your behalf and restore you to your prosperous state. Job 8, 5, and 6. The implications of Bildad's speech is that Job is not pure and upright, and that material prosperity is directly linked to one's righteous behavior. Job responds in the 9th chapter of Job with the wish that he could plead his case before God and lamenting the fact that there is no one to intervene on his behalf. Bildad's second speech in Job 18 focuses on the theme that God punishes the wicked. His logic is that since Job is being punished, he must have done something wrong. In the 19th chapter of Job, Job responds with a plea to be left alone. How long will you torment me and crush me with words? He also asks for his friend's pity in verse 21 and declares that his God is alive and knows all things. God will be the one to judge him fairly. And Job put his trust in him. That's verses 25 through 27. Bildad's third speech in Job 20, the 5th chapter, focuses on the idea that a person cannot be righteous before God. The center of this brief chapter says, how then can man be in right before God? How can he who is born of a woman be pure? Job 25 and 4. Job answers in Job 26 with sarcasm, arguing that only God can know all things and fully understands the situation. Job's third, the Nahumite, who is also, as his other friends first mentioned in Job, the 2nd chapter, the 11th verse. They came to comfort Job after they had heard of the bad things that had happened to him. Job, in the 2nd chapter, the 12th and 13th verse, shows their response to his distress. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. However, as we have discussed, they did not remain silent but had to comment about why Job was suffering. Zophar's speech began in chapter 11. Given the strongest of the three initial speeches, Zophar declares that Job deserves even worse than what he got. In verse 6, he states, know then that God expects of you less than your guilt deserves. And this is the ESV version. Job responds in chapter 12 that it was the Lord who brought this suffering upon him, and in chapter 13 maintains his innocence. I know I will be vindicated, Job 13 and 18. Zophar's second speech in the 20th chapter of Job focused on the theme that one who commits wickedness will suffer for it. In his words, a flood would carry off his house, rushing waters on the day of God's wrath. Such is the fate God allots the wicked, the heritage appointed for them by God. Job 20, the 28th and 29th verse. In the 21st chapter of Job, Job answers that God, for some reason, does allow the wicked to prosper, spend their years in prosperity, and go down to the grave in peace. Job 21 and 13. After being rebuked by my friends, one would be bitter. However, Job is a story of suffering stalking a person, tearing them down, ripping into his sanity. This is affliction spinning out of control. Suffering like Job's should never draw a person to God. It should only push him away from him. In life, we see so many people who are seemingly angry with God for the suffering they have experienced. People become bitter from their suffering, the tragic loss of a loved one, a loss of financial security, the loss of a home or health. Happiness is replaced with bitterness, but the word stated that God would never leave or forsake us. Let's deal with the word bitterness. And this is from a King James Dictionary Bible, King James Dictionary. Figurative sense. Extreme enmity, grudge, hatred, or rather an excessive degree or implacableness of passion and emotions, as the bitterness of anger. Ephesians 4 and 31, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. sharpness, severity of temper, keenness of reproach, biting sarcasm, keen sorrow, painful affliction, vexation, deep distress of mind. Some Bible examples of bitterness. Hannah and Job was in bitterness of soul. 1 Samuel 1 and 10, Job 7 and 11. 1 Samuel 1 and 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Job 7 and 11, therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. In the gall of bitterness, in a state of extreme impiety or enmity to God. Acts 8:22-23. Acts 8:22-23 says, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. The root of bitterness, a dangerous error or schism, tending to draw a person to apostasy. Hebrews 12:15. Hebrews 12:15 reads, looking diligently, lest any man fail of grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitter people will develop a critical spirit. They become judgmental and arrogant. They murmur and complain in an effort to justify their negative emotions. Job's life had many bitter situations in it than most people have. Yet he was successful for the Lord. When Job was given the cup of bitterness to drink, he refused to allow it to make him bitter in spirit. We live in a bitter world, and the people around us need to see us enjoying our services to Jesus Christ. Satan tries to use bitterness to destroy believers. Bitterness is something that can consume us. It is a feeling and a mindset that can turn the brightest day into one that feels dark. Job had every right to wallow in his bitterness, but he chose not to. Instead, he kept his eyes fixed on God. All the difference in the world. There are some things about Job's life that kept him bitter, less in the midst of bitterness. First of all, he never lost his confidence in God's word. Job 23:12. Job 23:12 reads, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Secondly, Job never lost his confidence in God's ways. Job 23:10-11. God knows what's best for our lives. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Thirdly, he never lost his fear of God. Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It also gives us the ability to make good decisions, and this would also include deciding to maintain a good spirit in the midst of bitter situations. Lastly, Job never lost his faith. Thank you, Lord. Job 13:15a states, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job's friends served as an example of how people often view suffering from a human perspective that overlooks God's divine plan. While it is true that those who do wrong often suffer, God also allows suffering for other reasons, often unknown to us at the time. Instead of assuming all suffering is due to a person's wrongdoing, we should examine our lives before the Lord and see how we can live for him during the times of struggles, knowing that suffering can serve as a part of his sovereign plan. James 5:11. I recall in 2016, I was in so much pain, and I later found out that I had a protruding disc in my back, and it was causing pain in my leg and my thigh. But while I was in pain for months and months, I just complained and complained. I would get mad at God, I was bitter towards God, and I would tell him, you know that I'm in this pain. And one day, just before he allowed me and that pain to calm down, he told me, he said, I'm not concerned with your pain, thank you, Lord. I'm concerned with your faith. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. I ask God to forgive me. I had to forgive, ask God to forgive me because I didn't understand. I was trying to figure out where and what did I do that he didn't like. I had stopped trusting in him and began to lean to my own understanding, in which when it comes to God, I know nothing. It was then that I learned that this was part of the master's plan. In conclusion, the Bible has much to say about bitterness and forgiving one another. Here's a glimpse of what is said in the Bible. God says not to be bitter and hold a grudge. It's not that easy to not be bitter, is often said. This is true. But no sin is easy to stop. In order to have a healthy life relationship with God, bitterness had to be halted. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor to complain, use loud noises, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Ephesians 4:31. Forgive those that wronged you. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Luke 17:3. Christ knows all that you did, yet he still has forgiven all that you've done. That's if you're saved. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. Forbearing one another. That means to restrain from actions against another. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against, forgave you, so also do ye. Colossians 3:13. Do not worry and occupy your thoughts with what another has done to you. The gateway to bitterness is the thought gate. Once a thought gets in and is contemplated on, it does more damage the more it is entertained in one's thought life. Do not let yourself dwell on it. Stop thinking about it before it gets out of your hand. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Proverbs 24:19. Do not even start entertaining thoughts of getting evil. Say not, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his works. Proverbs 24:29. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railings for railings, but contrarywise blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, and ye should inherit a blessing. 1 Peter 3:8. If you think what the other person has done to you is wrong, how is it any better if you do the same or similar hurtful thing to them? You certainly have wronged others, even unintentionally. You certainly want to be forgiven by others and the Lord. So forgive those that wronged you, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Matthew 6:12. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Mark 11:25-26. Forgive them, even if they do the offense more than once. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say, not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Matthew 18:21. Also Luke 17:4. The only getting even God allows is to be nice to the offender. If that enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Proverbs 25:21-22. Return unkindness with kindness. This is certainly not what the world gives as a solution. Vengeance never takes away hurt feelings. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Matthew 5:44-45. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Romans 12:14. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12:19. If there is any getting even to be done, God will do it, not you. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Romans 12:19. Do not be happy when bad things happen to them. Do not gloat. They're going to get theirs. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turns away his wrath from him. Proverbs 24:17-18. Bathe in bitterness. Lord, help us. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. First and foremost, God, we ask you to forgive us. Lord God, we repent of sins that we have done knowingly and unknowingly. God, we just ask you to forgive us for things that we did and we know that they was wrong. Then, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. You are truly the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the Prince of peace. You are the everlasting Father. Lord God, you are majestic, and we love you on today, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look at this week's topic, bathe in bitterness. Some of us have had times when we thought we had the right to be bitter, but your word tells us different and give us better insight on how to handle difficult times. Forgive us, oh God, hallelujah. Help us to remember your word. You told us that you would never leave or forsake us. We believe your word. I believe your word to be true. God, you are faithful. You have always been faithful. Help us to forgive others as you have forgiven us. Don't let our hearts harbor bitterness, envy, and strife. If you find any of these things in us, God, take them out. Remove them. Help us, Lord. Help your people today. So many are bitter by what's going on in these times. But, God, you are still in control. You hold the health, the wealth, and all power in your hands. Bad things are not always bad things. They are situations to strengthen us, to build us up, to increase our faith. Not in man, but in you, God. Keep us. Keep your loving arms around us. Let us know that you are with us. Now, Lord, look on our leaders. There's so much bitterness going on at the top right now. Look on your people everywhere. Look on Dr. Carey. Keep us. Keep us in the center of your will. We decree and declare blessings to the listeners right now. Do for us, God, that which only you can do for us. And in us, oh, God, we thank you. Lord God, be in us. Be with us, Lord God. Be with us in everything that we say and everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, where your host is Dr. Maria Carey. And standing in today is Evangelist Terry Rogers. Tune in next week, same time, for another exciting lesson in this series. Remember, let Dr. Carey know via text that you've been blessed by the lesson. 309-750-7584. Enjoy the remainder of your day and be blessed.